Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 22nd day of September, 2022, the day after, as some are calling it. The Fed did exactly what they'd been telegraphing and what everybody expected. They raised interest rates yet another 0.75%, 75 basis points. Anyway, I'm your host, Mark Call, and in some respects, that's kind of a yawner because the real news is elsewhere, even though fall of the money remains the driver behind the scenes. And indeed, that's where most of the important news that the waste stream still doesn't want you to worry your pretty little heads about is going on. Here's one obvious example, but really it just paves the way to dig a bit deeper. Says a piece from the Epoch Times, Americans are set to fork out an extra $11,500 this year on average if they want to try, whether they succeed or not, it's another thing entirely, to enjoy the same standard of living they maintained in 2020, before the hostile communist takeover of the country, according to new estimates from NerdWallet, published back in August. They're based on inflation and annual spending data from the U.S. Bureau of Lying Statistics, so already you know they're a bit suspect, probably understated, but they looked at how spending would compare to the year 2020 before the COVID-19 pandemic and all that was able to happen after it. In that same year, official U.S. inflation was just 1.23%. Heck, folks, we've seen weeks where the energy prices have exploded enough to put that number to shame. And even if you believe the official U.S. bogus inflation data, 8.3%, the story says this. In all of 2020, American households spent $61,300 on average, including everything that money is spent on, housing, food, entertainment, clothing, transportation, and pretty much you name it. But in 2022, to buy that same basket of goods, it stands to reach $72,900. Yep, $11,500 if you believe the official numbers. One more quick, directly financial-related story. Credit Suisse is said to be, according to the Financial Times and Reuters, mulling several drastic options as they seek to emerge from losses and scandals, including exiting the U.S. market, firing more than 10% of their 45,000 global workforce, and splitting its investment bank into three parts, including the creation of a bad bank on which to dump their risky assets. And who knows, maybe even duping some so-called investors into taking a bath on. But no, that's categorically false, they told Bloomberg, and yep, who are you going to believe? It's getting more and more obvious who not to believe, as if it hasn't been really clear for quite a while now, and that would be swamp critters whose lips are moving. This story would be funny if it wasn't so traitorously tragic. Representative James Comer was on Fox News last night talking about, yep, can you believe it, the criminal son of the criminal puppet masquerading as president. I guess it's a good thing he's got the FBI on his team, making sure that Hunter Biden's laptop never sees the light of day, but if they have other documents that they want you to believe instead, oh yeah, they'll either steal those or cram them down your throats or both. The Republican leader from Kentucky on the House Oversight Committee has uncovered a plan, he says, by the Biden regime and its ruling crime family to sell natural gas reserves to China. And it dates back, of course, to before the infamous Hunter Biden laptop was hidden by the FBI so that Americans could hopefully be sold the election scam. Said the congressman, they have the evidence, the emails, and even a whistleblowing eyewitness to make the case that no, it wasn't just Hunter who was selling influence to the then number two man, the big guy. Chinese business partners have provided the Biden family with detailed maps identifying critical U.S. gas reserves that they'd like to have a little piece of the action on. And, of course, it's not just Hunter. As the congressman says, the evidence clearly shows that Joe Biden himself, before he lost what little bit of a brain that he had remaining, was deeply involved. And isn't it just really interesting, folks, what's happened to the energy markets since then? I want to spend a few minutes today on a sequence of stories that, honestly, I think won't surprise a lot of listeners. Certainly most of them didn't surprise your host, because arguably we've seen it coming one way or another for quite a while. But on the other hand, I think it may literally shock the living hell, and I use that term explicitly, out of others. Because the truth seems to be that so many of the things out of the worst horror movies, dystopian movies, and even grade B science fiction is, in fact, coming to pass, if it hasn't already. And we'll start it off with this one from Jim Kunstler, a guy that I've really enjoyed reading for quite a while now, has another interesting piece up where he actually says what they refer to as the quiet part out loud on the Burning platform. He calls it a walk on the wild side and asks this question. Do you doubt any more that the USA, indeed most of Western civ, is in fact in the grip of demonic possession? You can't quite medicalize a problem by calling it a group psychosis, because the people demolishing social boundaries know exactly what they're doing, and they are, as your host likes to put it, but so does he, shoving it in your face maliciously for the purpose of goading you into humiliation and punishment, which is predictably what will happen if you object to being, oops, I guess I'm going to have to bleep this one, mind-fucked. Case in point, and I'm not going to belabor this one, if you've seen the disgusting photos, you already know what he's going to talk about, a shop teacher styling himself the transgendered Kayla Lemieux comes to work sick in a school, sick, in the Halton School District of Ontario, Canada, dressed as a grotesquely over-endowed female, no longer seems to cut it, with beach ball-sized fake breasts. And all of this is supported by the woke Marxist Justin Castro Trudeau, who's already made it clear they intend to crush you, bankrupt you, and destroy you if you don't play along. Who knew, he asked poignantly, that the once glorious George Jetson-style future would dip into a neo-medieval religious frenzy, and more to the point, one deriving its dark energy from the demonic and outright satanic. You're asked to swallow ever greater absurdities, destroying your self-respect, because you know you're a coward for not standing up to this host of degenerates. Yeah, he goes on to talk next about the traitorous open invasion from the south, where literally millions, many of them already identified as international terrorists, crossed the border with a welcome mat from the traitor-in-chief, while that feral band of infidels tries to brand those who object to it as domestic white terrorist extremists. After which, the hypocrisy of the far nutcase left and Martha's Vineyard, where the uber-rich meet to party and pontificate and ultimately expose their hypocrisy, got caught this week wearing the emperor's new clothes. And yeah, it's tough to forget what we've seen. But this is where Kunstler is Kunstler. He puts it this way. What's the answer when faced with a large-scale religious disturbance in society, especially when displaying all the earmarks of overt, archetypal evil? Well, you call in an exorcist. That had been Donald J. Trump's true role in this latest mega-crisis for the millennia. He's seeking to cast out evil spirits afflicting this sore beset national community, and those evil spirits are frantic to stop his ministrations by any means necessary. He is, of course, notes Kunstler, a most untoward avatar in this war of good against evil. After all, he came out of the infernal circle of New York real estate development. The assumption all along was that he must be tainted by dirty dealing with the mobs who run the construction unions and government there. But after 6 years of relentless investigation, sick, by the Southern District of New York and the Manhattan DA's office, the Legions of Hell came up with, well, nothing. How's that possible, you must ask? Well, they tried their darndest, and now they're trying again with some double jeopardy maneuvers. The law, though, to these degenerates is just an instrument of their own evil will to power. Well, he goes on to say Mr. Trump may or may not be the nominee in 2024, but at least in the meanwhile, he seems to be helping the country with a literal house cleaning in advance of that that might open the door for a deluge of corrective truth-telling about what's gone on over the past several years. Well, on that score, folks, we'll see. But Kunstler does conclude by saying Americans, except for the very old, are not disposed to attending church, meaning they're not reminded at regular intervals that good and evil exist in all of us and that we have a sacred duty to fight it. Ultimately, he believes the left will choke to death on its many crimes, and hopefully we can return to being a people who confidently know the difference between right and wrong. Next, since time is going to be an issue today, just a couple of comments from a piece by Steve Watson, Summit News, about Senator Rand Paul, who has vowed this week to do what arguably should have done a long time ago and continue to expose the origins of the COVID pandemic and uncover what he calls a paper trail that he is positive will lead back to none other than the most evil man on planet Earth. Yeah, his nemesis, America's Dr. Mengele, Tony Fauci, the NIH, oh, and of course, the Wuhan lab. We'll follow up with what might be called the biggie, and probably the most obvious too, courtesy of Dr. Naomi Wolf, a once far leftist who of late seems to have really begun to see the truth, and write about it very well to boot. In a piece on her Substack entitled Destroying Women, Poisoning Breast Milk, Murdering Babies, and Hiding the Truth, she writes that the worst thing that can happen to the human species is happening. Referring to a War Room, Daily Clout, Pfizer document, bunch of research volunteers, a group, she notes, of medical and scientific experts who've selflessly stepped up to analyze tens of thousands of formerly internal Pfizer documents released under court order subsequent to a lawsuit by Aaron Seary's firm and a FOIA by public health and medical professionals for transparency. Well, they've now fully documented, she says, that Pfizer's mRNA, not vaccines, target human reproduction in comprehensive and, hey, here's a surprise, likely irreversible ways. Our 3,250 research volunteers in 39 fully cited reports to date have documented evidence of what she notes she's been calling 360 degrees of harm to human reproduction. The Pfizer documents reveal monstrous damage to, well, to just about everything associated with reproduction. From menstruation to harm to the testes and epididymis, harms to the penis, horrible harm to the ova and ovaries, mechanisms for compromising the placenta, contamination of amniotic fluid, and, of course, damage to newborns, if they live that long. They reveal that four women's breast milk turned blue-green. They reveal injuries to at least one newborn that extends to death or murder from ingesting the tainted breast milk. They reveal horrific levels of miscarriages. They reveal that Pfizer defined exposure to the vaccine as including sexual intercourse, especially at time of conception. Hey, kind of tough to imagine the converse, isn't it? And they reveal a weird focus on mammalian sex and reproductive issues, almost like somebody was planning on it, huh? All of these horrors make extended appearances in the Pfizer documents, she writes, which were never expected to see the light of day. So she concludes, soon humanity will realize that the worst thing to ever happen to it has happened. Yep, it has to come out. Soon humanity will realize, she writes, that the miscarriages and the drops in birth rate worldwide documented by Igor Chudov, the drop in life expectancies, the neonatal deaths, the ruination of eggs and ovaries were done to them with knowledge of forethought, and that in many cases relating to fertility, the means for healing the bodies of women is just not clear. Every day, she says, my inbox seethes with women asking questions like, can the lipid nanoparticles be removed from my ovaries? My daughter miscarried right after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. My daughter-in-law was vaccinated while pregnant. What can be done for her? But mainstream news outlets, let alone so-called government regulatory agencies, aren't helping women with this crisis. No, folks, who are we kidding? Obviously, one of the major points of Fauci's bioweapon was precisely this. Rather, she says, concerning these so-called government agencies, they're seeking to gaslight us about it and kill off reputationally and to censor those who try to bring this evidence to the light of day. Here's just one example. In one of the 39 War Room Daily Clout reports about the staggering harms and upside-down so-called science in the Pfizer documents, a volunteer recently made a mistake. In a post dated August 12th of this year, the volunteer miscounted 11 miscarriages or spontaneous abortions of women who'd been injected in Pfizer's clinical trial as 22. The miscarriages, spontaneous abortions, were listed in two separate tables in the 3,600-plus page Pfizer document, but the subject codes revealed that some of them were duplicates. We learned of this error on August 17th due to work done by Naked Emperor on his Substack and Phil Karpin on Twitter. Of course, we immediately corrected the error. I publicly noted the correction on every podcast in which I appeared. But both the Associated Press and Reuters, two of the biggest news wires on the planet, went after us. So it does beg the question, are those news wires who so aggressively assailed the credibility of a team of highly credentialed researchers doing a public service, while they remain unconflicted? AP, or should I say AP Xinhua, she notes, pursued us with an article falsely exonerating Pfizer, one that appeared in virtually every local newspaper in the country. She provides the link. And the Associated Press is conflicted in covering the story, she adds, what with its direct financial ties to Xinhua News Agency, the official state news agency of the People's Republic of China, and of course that means the Communist Chinese Party, too. Xinhua is also a ministry-level institution subordinate to the State Council of the CCP, the highest-ranking state media organization in that communist country. They have a number of Memorandums of Cooperation, or MOCs, with Xinhua, which is an entity that Reporters Without Borders calls the world's biggest propaganda machine. Well, maybe outside of a certain three-letter agency that starts with Central. But who knows, folks, given what we've seen lately, I guess it is possible that I repeat myself. She goes on for quite a while about all the details here, folks, but I think you get the point. The connections go way more than skin deep, and they're pretty insidious, too. So who, she says, and she knows the answer, and you're gonna, who's been criticizing the Communist Chinese Party and their partnership with Pfizer BioNTech? Well, yours truly, meaning Naomi Wolf. Elsewhere in the Substack, she notes, I broke the story of how Pfizer injections are in fact produced with a MOU, or a Memorandum of Understanding, between BioNTech and Fosun Pharmaceuticals, a CCP-run big pharma company based in Shanghai. She explained how their manufacturing branches in Boston and Princeton are such that when you are duped into taking a vaccine this year, you may well be injected with material or via IP overseen by the Communist Chinese Party. There's a shocker. She's also written, she notes, about how the Pfizer-BioNTech SEC filing for 2021 counts as being 100% complete, a tech transfer, a technology giveaway to Red China. And in their hit piece on us, she notes, the AP somehow managed to let the FDA, which saw and signed off on every single one of the tens of thousands of documents in that Pfizer release, to get away with saying nothing at all. And not only that, she notes, the global powerhouse, the Associated Press, couldn't manage to get a single U.S. taxpayer-funded federal agency, including that one tasked with protecting the safety and health, yeah, sure, of American food and drug, to even return their calls. Isn't that a shame? Even though the documents are in FDA's legal custody and contain the lettering FDA Confidential right there on the bottom margin. AP, she notes, also let Pfizer off on their claim, unchallenged since 2020, that a phase 3 clinical study of more than 44,000 people, half of whom were women, according to Pfizer, showed that miscarriages were, and I'm quoting, folks, not reported as a vaccine side effect, unquote. Well, that doesn't mean they didn't happen. It just means that they didn't get reported, doesn't it? I guess now it's time to start debunking some more lies. First, she notes the study didn't, in fact, have more than 44,000 people, and then she gives the link. But second, the AP did not link or appear to even check the study, which was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. But had they done so, they'd have had to inform readers that pregnant women had been, you ready, excluded from the study, noting that the report, quote, does not address the prevention of COVID-19 in other populations, such as younger adolescents, children, and, pregnant women. So maybe it makes sense that if you exclude pregnant women, miscarriages weren't reported as a vaccine side effect. Aren't they clever? Oh, one more comment from your host here, folks. If you're really clever, you can exclude people from the study ex post facto, after they've had problems that you don't want to have to report. The AP also linked to a Mayo Clinic website post from 2021, coincidentally the very year that vaccinated moms started to miscarry at huge scale, to make the case that there was nothing at all unusual about the miscarriage rates in the Pfizer document.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Which is normally, claims the Mayo Clinic, around 10-20%. And here there follow several paragraphs about how you can lie with statistics and claim that really, really abnormally high rates really are nothing to see here. Move along, move along. And there's still more, including conflicts of interest up and down the line. Reuters doesn't get off the hook on this score either. They're conflicted, she writes, in covering us or any Pfizer-related story because of their direct ties to the board of directors of Pfizer. Ties that Reuters didn't disclose in a hit piece on, no, not Pfizer itself, but critics of Pfizer. And did the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics even slow them down? Not so you'd notice. Unsurprisingly, she adds, given this background, they were involved this last week in Fauci's claim that he'd been fact-checked to Senator Rand Paul for his own benefit. Yeah, she adds, you can't make this level of corruption up. And since those last hit pieces appeared, she continues, two lawsuits have revealed that both the Center for Death and Control and their Carol Crawford and, what else, the White House itself were discussing back in 2021, she writes, my accurate tweet warning women of menstrual and thus fertility harms from the mRNA poison pokes. She didn't put it that way. I will. David Klaus publicist Ellen Kennelly wrote a superb press release putting that news in the context of other damage that the team had been finding related to reproductive harm to human beings, and as soon as Ms. Kennelly tried to post it on the EIN press wire, that entity shut her down. Not just her, but our account too, writes Dr. Wolf, and informed us that we could never reopen one. Writes Jim Hoff for the Gateway Pundit, they, the War Room Daily Clout research team, are the only team scouring the tens of thousands of documents that Big Pharma wanted the courts to seal for a full 75 years. It's the impressive Daily Clout team, he continues, that's exposing all the vaccine-related health risks, deleted data sets, altered trials, and the cabal of COVID mRNA real, not the kind that Big Brother and its Centers for Death and Control want you to believe, misinformation. And it turns out that those conflicts of interest were just the beginning. Executives of the EIN Newswire Service, writes Hoft, are investors in patient care, pharmaceuticals, and they have deep origins in the Democrat swamp. And if Naomi Wolf ever opened another account, EIN Presswire would keep that money with no refunds. I guess, folks, once you've been marked as a truther, Satan's sources don't want anything to do with you ever again. But here's where things really get rugged, folks. Leaving aside the bought-off or corrupt nature of all these increasingly surreal efforts to lie, cover up the truth, and in the process, sterilize and kill who knows how many millions of people by what used to be ethical platforms, in their ugly efforts to silence our warnings to fellow human beings that their reproductive health is sorely at risk of being damaged or destroyed by these mRNA vaccines, you have to ask the question. Is the Pfizer vaccine safe for pregnant or breastfeeding women, for fetuses or babies? Answer, no, no, and no. The article continues with other peer-reviewed looks at the data, including that by Dr. Robert Chandler, which basically leads her to conclude with a single, pretty much undeniable conclusion. Pfizer knew, and I would say they knew blankety-blank and well, that they were ruining women and killing babies. In other words, this is not merely gross negligence, folks, by unbelievably stupid people. Oh, and unless you think that these Communist Chinese Party, Pfizer-affiliated bioweapons experts are just misogynists, men, too, are under reproductive attack. The Volunteers and Daily Clout COO, Amy Kelly, found that Pfizer vaccine ingredients permeate the testes and affect the epididymis, the Sertoli cells, the so-called nurse cells of the testicles, the Leydig cells, the primary sources of testosterone in males, and the germ cells. In other words, beyond just suppressing sperm count and sperm motility, these injections damage baby boys and small boys and teenage boys' ability to grow up normally in terms of the development of masculinity itself. And, gee, does that sound even remotely similar to other things we've seen a whole lot of lately? And as Naomi Wolf, Ms. Kelly's review of the database also found mRNA injections to have caused severe injuries to the penises of mRNA-tainted men. And that's not all. Even the next generations are under bioweapon attack. Here's a preprint from another study entitled, Pre-exposure to mRNA LNP inhibits adaptive immune response and alters innate immune fitness in an inheritable fashion. In other words, if anything is fertilized after this injection, it can inherit some of the damage caused by the Zyklon B injection. So even if it survives to be able to reproduce, it may not end up being fertile itself. And there's literally volumes more information here, folks. And you can rest assured, Big Brother doesn't want you to hear it. Writes Dr. Naomi Wolf, I first reported on the global baby die-off here on her Substack 3 months ago. The BBC, as she mentioned above, reported on a spike in baby deaths in Scotland. My reporting about the Scottish baby die-off is a concern echoed by groups of Scottish women who are contacting me seeking answers. There's more. There's a group of Israeli women journalists that are also concerned. Dead babies haunt the VAERS database. Showing absolutely incredible numbers of dead babies, spontaneous abortions, and fetal disorders. In just the past couple of years, 3,816 babies died after their mothers received a so-called COVID-19 vaccine manufactured by Moderna, Pfizer-BioNTech, or Janssen. And these numbers mean that 57% of all the vaccinations that resulted in a dead baby or fetus over the past 25 years or so occurred after pregnant women started receiving the Zyklon B injections. And I'm going to change just that one word in there, and you know what it is. The story that Dr. Wolf and Amy Kelly and the War Room Daily Crowd Research volunteers are all telling, with primary source after primary source documenting the story, reveals, as she puts it, 360 degrees of harm to human reproduction, as revealed in the Pfizer documents, and that appears to break a massive media taboo. Yeah, you're just not allowed to talk about it, which, arguably, isn't surprising. If you had intentionally, or, she says, by accident, ruined the future of the human race, or ruined the future of about half of it, at least, and killed and malformed a whole lot of babies along the way, you too might be trying to shoot the messenger. And if you think about it, folks, you know why it is they don't want you to know about this, and also why it is they want to make sure we don't have a system of justice that, if it still existed, might arguably end up in a whole lot of people who are guilty of massive crimes against humanity, as well as massive genocide, hanging by the necks until they are dead, dead, dead. So you're not allowed to know about it, much less to talk about it. But guess what? We are supposed to seek the truth anyway, folks, because it'll set us free, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.